perfect form.
Man, that don't mean nothing. I'm decent in the bowling. Super decent.
Right.
Me and the homies get good practice in too.
Oh, Tib come through. A+.
Well, you gotta come through. You gotta come through one time. Pretty much, you gotta. I don't know, man. It's just some good competition.
I'll be perfect. Cause look, I'm just trying to tell you. Everyone gonna be like, oh, he's out the gutter. Just kidding. Strike.
You got the swing. You got the swingers.
Sorry. Oh. Left and right. What? What you
gotta
do?
I'm a line up kind of guy. I like to go.
What you gotta do?
Nah, you ain't going both hands on me. You start doing that. Look. I'm gonna sign you up for the PBA.
Sign me up, dude. Cause it's gonna get crazy. What else we need to do? Y'all. You already know that's where I was going with it. I'm over there.
Do, 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 do.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, we need to get paintball going for sure.
Everything. I know we about to get it going.
But
it's been up. We got some things that we need to talk about. We need to straighten the culture out because this is what we do. Here. Yo, what's up? You already know who it is. It's me, Tev D, and this is the Ill Perspective Podcast. I'm over here with my boy PJ. What's up?
What's good, bro?
Man, what you been up to?
Man, as usual.
What, working?
Always.
Always right working.
We always working. No off days.
You already know. Grinding. Balling. Bowling. But look, last week it was the Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
What you do? You got your sauce off. You got the P Love. You brought P Loving out.
I wouldn't say that.
Kept it simple.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I ain't go too crazy, man.
P Love in the building. On your lives.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I brought the P Love out, but I definitely had some fun. I definitely enjoyed myself. Got some quality time, man. I know you you probably did some. You probably did some decent. You probably did some big. What you do?
Come on, man. You know. It's like, nah. I ain't do nothing. Nah, on Valentine's Day. But the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Cook some breakfast or something.
Breakfast? I am the breakfast. Cooking nothing. It's like, nah, we went out. We went out. We took a night on the town.
Mm.
Matter of fact, I think that boy was 5 stars. Hey. Stayed in the city though, downtown.
Okay then.
What's the hotel? The Lytle Park. That's where you gotta go. I think that's how you pronounce it. Lytle Park Hotel.
I wouldn't know that.
I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm saying. Man, that's a nice place right there. They got a restaurant in the mm-hmm. facility. So you ain't even got it. Was cold. It was so cold. Like, we was going to go out, like, after we got the room, go out to a restaurant. But we stayed in. The whole thing was a good time. You know, got the sauce, the drip. I mean.
Yeah, you brought him out.
Come on.
That's dope, bro. I'm glad you were.
Gotta keep it spicy.
Definitely got to do it for the missus.
Man, you already know. But a lot of stuff went on this week. It seemed like Meek Mill was in the news every day. Every day almost this week, every other day. First thing, well, I'm going to talk about the second thing that happened first, which was I don't know which one happened first. My days is getting blurry, but the Kobe, he had a line, and the fans ain't like it. It was a line about, it was like a punchline, some wordplay about Kobe. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Well, I wish I had the words with me, but it was something on the lines of, if he go out with a chopper like Kobe, something like that.
Yeah, he said he's going out with his chopper and it'd be another Kobe.
Yeah, that's what he said.
That was the line. I didn't think it was that bad. I do think he could have probably gave it a little more time before he started using the Kobe punchlines, but I get why people are doing it. It's their way of paying homage. I don't think the line was bad, though. I think it was just a rap lyric. I think everybody expressing their Kobe lyrics in different forms and different ways. So I think he was saying it in a sense of he would be a legend. He would be the legend dying with his chopper. So it was kind of like he was not really comparing himself to Kobe, but he's saying if he went out, that's the way he's going out. So it's some rap stuff. It's not really nothing I think you're supposed to look too deep into. Mm-hmm. I think you have to allow artists to kind of be artists. So I didn't really think it was that deep, but I understand why the wife got upset or why people is not taking to it. I do think it's still kind of early.
Yeah, nah, that's what it's about, honestly. It's about Vanessa and mm-hmm. they family and what they think. And she didn't take too kindly to those words. She responded, I wish I had the quotes, I don't. But it was something to the effect of, I don't really know your music, but I know you can do better. And if you wanna show your appreciation, do it in a different way. And the internet went crazy. Like you said, I agree. I don't think he meant no like malice or no hate behind it. Of course, like it's Kobe. Like we all love Kobe. Right. But at the same time, the timing of it was wrong. Like I think he, I mean, to be honest, it's not nothing new. We hear bars about a lot of people that's gone, right? And it's just wordplay at the end of the day. But yeah, I think the timing was wrong. But the other wrong part, or the other mistake he made, was again the timing when she responded mm-hmm. and said her feelings over the internet. He said something to the, what was it he responded with? Or it wasn't a response. I don't think it was a response. But when he tweeted, it was bad timing once again. So the internet went crazy again, which he said,
He came back to savage shit.
I don't see Meek Mill being that.
I don't know if that was a response.
Yeah, I don't see him doing that.
It's the internet is so sketchy because you don't really know what's for what unless it's directly right. being said a certain way or directly being said to somebody. So it's not like the situation with 6ix9ine where you pretty much know how he's talking and what he's referencing. Mm-hmm. He could have been quoting the lyric. He could have been saying anything on that tweet. So you got to be careful with social media. I don't think you can look into everything as deep or make it seem like everything is back and forth.
But it's social tweets, media. That's what they going to do.
That's what it, yeah, that's what and it's right, for. So that's pretty much, that's pretty much it. So that's what they do on social media. So it's almost like sometimes they right, sometimes they wrong. So you don't really know in this type of situation. I try not to hope that he not responding back to his wife in that way. I think he would have a little more respect for her. So, I don't know. I think that's more of them social media situations that you kind of blow up.
I mean, right now, it's on, like, every so often it's hate on Meek Mill moments, like, you know what I'm saying? And right now it's one of them things, like, a lot of people have them. Like, the internet makes a narrative and people start running with it. Like, sometimes it's Wale, sometimes it's J. Cole is born, or Wale is whack, or right now is Meek Mill. Like everybody had a little time on the internet, and right now it's Meek Mill time, because it's something after something, and it's piling up. It ain't really nothing in his control, really. He just gotta play it right. Like, which lead me to what happened with him in 6ix9ine, right? Mm-hmm. Apparently, we know what 6ix9ine is. Like, he's a clout chaser to the highest of the highest, trolling, whatever. Like, we know what that is.
And the FBI informant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's number one. Like, an informant. So, with that being said, the situation that I'm referring to is Meek Mill was at a restaurant, and upon leaving, 6ix9ine pulls up, and then they have an exchange back and forth or whatever, which is whatever. What I feel like happened was 6ix9ine came knowing that Meek Mill was there, so he can use that as something to drive attention to him for his next song that was coming out. And we saw that because when his next song came out, he put a clip that happened in the video. So, I mean, like I said, the thing with Meek Mill at this point is you can't give him that at all. I feel like the thing that he could have did was just not, like, as soon as he seen what that was tell his guys, clear the parking lot. We not even about to do this. Go the opposite way. That's one thing you can attempt to do, but it's 6ix9ine. I mean, he's going to try to get his his shiny. It's just like you can't react to that. Like, you can't be going back and forth. As soon as you're going back and forth with 6ix9ine, somebody like him, and that's just with, not just with Meek Mill and 6ix9ine, it's just with anybody that's like that. Like, anybody that's a troll, anybody that just do stuff for attention. As soon as you go back and forth, then they won. And that's what happened in that situation.
Like, I agree. And I think everybody kind of feel the same way on this topic. I think reacting to 6ix9ine was a bad move for Meek. So I think it's just something he got to learn from and learn how to not give 6ix9ine. Yeah, give him what he was looking for. And then therefore, you know, you won't have to worry about, you know, people bother you or I guess his clout or whatever he trying to create and whatever wave he trying to ride. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. The rap industry is definitely taking a weird turn. So, it's a lot of rappers doing a lot of weird stuff. And that's just how 6ix9ine choose to be. So, I don't know. I'm surprised he actually still got a career, though.
I think
it's fluent because we're still talking about it, so it's relevant.
To me, he not relevant. It's who he like when he reacts to certain people, and he know how to do that. He know how to get that attention. He know what he doing. The thing is, though, it's not really working. When you look at what's going on, when you look at his numbers, how they don't last. It's not a lasting thing. Like, he can't really go anywhere. Like, the what he doing, like how he living, is not nothing that I would want to live. Like, he can't even go out nowhere. Like, he can't even go nowhere without somebody wanting to do something to him.
Nah, he just feeding the people who like and drama.
He ain't got nobody like when you in the industry. And I ain't never been in the industry. I'm just from the outside looking in. You need connections. You need people to, like, it's like a ladder. Like, I'm going to connect with him. Yeah. It's a network.
It's a networking.
If don't nobody want to mess with you because you just, you poison at this point, because he is poison, then you can't really succeed. You can't get to you will be stuck at a certain level. And that's chasing internet clout.
Facts. So that's, I don't know. That's the route he want to take, though. So,
I don't even know if he want to take it. I think that's the route that he got.
Choice he
got
to take.
He
so got. It's what he got to do.
Which again, like when you take the dishonorable route, which I think it is, like, I don't know if I meant, because we try not to talk about him on this podcast, but I think we did mention it one time, if I'm not mistaken. And the thing about what he is to me is the image of somebody who's he playing with people's lives and what people believe in. And it's an act, and it ain't genuine. It ain't nothing genuine about what he do. It's nothing real about what he do. So that with people in a certain type of lifestyle, street lifestyle, that he tried to portray, and then he got, you know, he got caught up in it, and then he snitched to get the shorter amount of time, is like the opposite of what Bobby Smurda did.
Facts.
And who kept his integrity, what he believed, who kept his mouth shut so his homeboy can have a lesser time. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's the type of stuff that you can see in somebody, and it makes you want to mess with them more, especially when on the opposite you see somebody who's a clown that do anything for attention and that don't got no code. Like,
yeah. So you like Bobby Smurda now?
And you listen to now, him now? I've been listening to him. Okay. Of course, he had the hot nigga song. That's
of course.
That was a hit. Like, but he had a couple other songs that I was already listening to, and I was actually salty because I honestly think he knows how to rap. Like, he knows how to put words together. Even if you listen to the hot nigga song. Or the hot boys, or wherever go. He was actually using wordplay in a song. Like, he was actually flipping.
I think Bobby stuff, like, in
the, yeah, so he Bobby got talent. I was actually tuning in to what he was coming out with, what he was going to do next. So,
yeah.
I was actually.
Him going to jail, that was at a time where he was really starting to, like, take off a little bit. He was starting to go up. So, it's curious to see. I'm definitely curious to see what he's going to do now that he's out. And what type of music he gonna drop and what type of I don't know what type of skill level he gonna be at.
For sure. Nah, I think he gonna be better. Because when you sit a lot of people who rappers and they sit down for so long, they come out at least lyrically better. Like, because they in there rapping, they just getting better. They making the best, they perfecting their craft because they ain't got nothing else to do.
Literally.
Pretty much. Yeah. So they
you got time.
Yeah, you just that's they gave you however much time, and you perfect your craft. So I think he's gonna be better, and I like how the hip hop, the street community gravitated toward him and gave him his roses for doing what was quote unquote the honorable thing to do in the streets. Like, so he's stuck to something. He stuck to a code. And they rewarding him for it. He got the private jet from Quavo to send him home and all of that. So, I mean,
It's probably dope coming out.
Everybody giving you money, private jets, girls, whatever. And he got it all. So, that's literally the opposite of what was going on with 6ix9ine. I don't even like putting them in the same sentence, but it's a lesson in that. Like, you when you show integrity, it's gonna come back tenfold. Like, that's the lesson I see in.
He definitely did something real, so that's pretty dope. It sucks that he had to give up that much time, but you know, now that it's over, he definitely get back to rapping cool. and taking care of his family.
Yeah, it reminds me of one of my little homies that went to jail. So, and for him, it ain't gonna be the same story because he's not Smurda. He don't have the connects. But when he does get out, you know, it's gonna be, we gonna do whatever we gotta do to make sure he good because he kept it 100.
Right.
And I mean, that's what you got to do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Especially when they, when the system is so messed up and they get caught for something at such a young age, it's like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
That's but, tough.
Man, look, hey, but again, shout out to Bobby Shmurda. Can't wait to hear what he got, coming for sure. Also, Tiger Woods. I want to send prayers out to his family and his loved ones. He was in a bad car accident. Did you hear about it?
Yeah, I seen it on ESPN.
It was a bad accident. They had to use the jaws of life, whatever that thing is called, when the firemen come and rip the car open so they can get you out. They said he had to have surgery on his leg. And he gotta have a speedy recovery because that's another legend, like, you know.
Facts. Did you get a chance to watch his documentary though?
I did not.
That's what you need to do.
I heard about
the documentary. It actually goes into a bunch of stuff that he went through as a kid. The type of stuff that his dad put him through just growing up when he was young, how he got into golf. What happened between him and his father that made them kind of fall apart a little bit before he passed away. A whole bunch of stories that you probably wouldn't know about, you wouldn't hear about unless you watched that documentary. So it was pretty good, man. Gave a lot of in-depth, detailed things about what happened and a lot of things that occurred with Tiger Woods just in his life, you know, since we've been knowing him, and some stuff that happened before we knew him, and, you know, just some awkward stuff that you wouldn't right. think, you know, that he experienced.
Wasn't he one of them kids where they basically bred him for golf?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's it called? I forget. Absolutely. It's a name for it.
Yeah, he was like one of those like kid machines or like
kid machines.
Like for real, like one of those product.
It's a name for it. Like it's that. A name for it. But yeah, how you feel about that type of stuff? Like when parents do that to kids, like.
I don't think it's bad. I mean, that's how legends. Some legends are created. Some legends are born. Some legends are created. So, I don't think it's nothing bad if you create a legend, and that's what he did. Now, I think the problems that they were having was more so on a personal level, more so about the emotions of father, son. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily about his skill or his talent. I think he nailed it on teaching him how to become a better professional golfer or professional athlete, period. And actually showing him how to work hard and put the time in and actually get great at it. So I think the talent wise, I think he nailed it, but like the dad wise, the more personal side, I think that was the side that
right.
I think needed a little more attention. And I don't think it's nothing wrong with it. I think what he did was great. He just dropped the ball in a couple of situations, but that's something that you'll learn to,
but you don't think that, like, when you do that, when you focus so much on making your kid a pro or a legend or whatever, that it don't take away from like their childhood and them developing in a certain way? Like, do you think that, like, his big scandal, of course, was him cheating and having all them good. Mm-hmm. Do you think doing that, affects how he goes and you know, communicate with these women as he get older? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I think it was a lot of sacrifice that he had to endure. So I think trying to become a great anything, you have to sacrifice something. So he was forced to sacrifice a lot, and then that led into him getting to a certain level and him not necessarily have to sacrifice certain things no more. He had everything at his disposal, so he was able to indulge in a certain way that he wasn't always able to.
Right.
And that did lead to misjudgment and maybe, you know, some wrong decisions and stuff like that. And I think that's where he probably needed a little more of a father type of figure versus a coach or somebody who just wanted to be great at golf. So, yeah, I think you have to find that line between the dad and somebody who's trying to, like, create a star, create a legend. You kind of don't want to just, like, focus on one side too much. And his dad wasn't the best example of how to be a husband and how to be faithful either.
Right.
That was one thing that they got into. Like, he used to
right.
have his own infidelity issues that a lot of people didn't know about, but Tiger was a witness to him and his other, I guess, friends or his dad friends or the people he hung out with.
Mm-hmm.
They all were kind of like living a certain lifestyle. And Tiger Woods just was obviously famous and he was making the same decision. So
right.
it was a lot of, you know, kind of not really monkey see, monkey do, but
it was a cycle.
Pretty much. And that's just, you know, one of the bad habits that he picked up on. So Tiger Woods actually had a very complex life. So that documentary, you know, and it's two parts of it. So it goes into a lot. And it's a good watch, man. It's just something to sit down and learn some if you really want to tap into it.
Do you think, now we're breaking down, we ain't even talking about the but we're breaking down the film. Do you think that that's necessary to do when, do you think having that type of upbringing is what makes a legend a legend? Like, do you think this is like, do you think all legends have to go through that?
No, we don't have to. But he was one that came out of that type of situation. So,
right.
I think Serena Williams would be, and Venus Williams would be sort of like a situation like that.
Right.
They was kind of created. They
movie coming out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think you have to, but I don't think it hurts to try to create a legend.
Because we both got kids.
Yeah.
And for me, I think my job is to make them the best person possible that I can make them. Like, you know what I'm saying? For the boys as well as, or for the boy, for my son as well as my daughters. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't think, for me personally, I'm not going to excessively do something unless I know my kid wanted, like, love to do it. Like,
right.
So let's do it. Let's push. But then in the midst of that, like, I want to try and instill a character, like, into my kids. Like, you got to be great when you meet people. It's always good to do certain things for people or treat the person that you with good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, be a good example to them. So, I don't know. That's why I asked. I ain't seen the doc yet. I'm going to watch it. It was on my watch list. But, yeah, that's one of the one things that I'm going to see.
Yeah, you definitely should check it out. It's a good watch. I liked it.
You mentioned Serena. Is she done? You think she done?
I don't know. I just think she took an L to a great young star. Just happens like that sometimes. Yeah, so.
I think if it's gonna happen, it should happen with Osaka.
Yeah, I like her.
Man, she's the one that's coming up right now. She already got four of them things, some majors, and she on her way. Like, she on her way to be up there with Serena. So
I wouldn't say she done just yet, though. I think Serena the type, she'll let us know when she done.
Yeah,
I think she just lost to a good, talented player, man. And, yeah. And the greatness meets greatness sometimes, and they meet at different phases of their life.
It's like a changing of the guards.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Mahomes.
She's a little bit on the, she's a little bit on the back end. She's a little bit on the back end, but she obviously still could win. Like,
yeah, because she was in the fight.
Come on now. Like, she's not like a slouch. It wasn't like it was easy pickings or nothing like that. It just, you run into a talented young player who can win. Yeah.
Trying to beat you.
Yeah, who can win.
So I was watching a video of her when she first beat her. Like, because, you know, it's like her second, third time being Serena.
Yeah,
which is crazy. But, like, the first time she was all nervous and like ain't know what to do, like, but now she like she's stepping into it, like she in her bag now, so I'm like excited to see where it's gonna go. I be watching tennis, like I'm a casual, like I ain't know, like I don't know everybody and stuff like that. But I would sit there and watch tennis because it's an easy game to keep up with and learn. Mm-hmm. And it's a set winner, like it ain't you know what I'm saying?
Time clock and nothing like that.
Yeah, so I like Naomi Osaka. So I'm glad. I'm wondering. I mean, I'm excited to see where she gonna go, where she gonna take it.
Yeah, she's definitely gonna challenge for the number one spot.
And she for us, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She got a rapper boyfriend. she
for
wore
the culture.
She for the culture. She wore all the names of the people on the mask. Yeah, on the mask. So I like her though. I mean, I'm gonna be rooting for her. Like,
yeah,
you know what
she's
saying?
Dope. Yeah.
Yeah. So she won. I'm gonna be rooting for.
And it's her confidence for me. It's like,
bruh,
like
she
you
got
were saying.
It.
I think she lacked the confidence the first couple of times she played Serena, but now she's super confident.
She got it. Yeah. She got it. Like, she got it. What else? It was an interview I wanted to talk to you about. It was an interview on a podcast called I Am Athlete. This is for anybody that I don't know. I've asked you if you like sports, even if you don't, because they go into like real life conversations. It's a podcast with Brandon Marshall, Chad Johnson, Fred Taylor, and I think it's Channing. But on this episode, they had Cam Newton as the guest. And basically, they was just talking about how this year passed, and it was just getting into Cam Newton, and I liked the conversation. I know you saw it too. What stuck out in that conversation for you? Like, what were some of the things that stuck out? Because I want to talk about something.
What stuck out most to me was I just liked the way Cam's mentality and the way he think, the way he chose to be inspired instead of choosing to want to be better than someone. I mean, you naturally, as a competitor, you want to compete and win, but he has a very unique story.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like the way he took on his challenges and how he defined the odds. He made a great point because he's never been a favorite. He's never been like somebody who was rooted for everybody wanted to win. He was always kind of like doubted or going against the grain in a way or going against the odds. So I just think it was his mentality and the way he looked at stuff and how he approached the game and then how he approached life in general.
So he
was definitely surprising me with like the way he think business wise and how he was setting himself up for his future after the NFL. I think he was just dropping a lot of gems and showing that, you know, he's not just a black quarterback. He's like a black entrepreneur at the same time. So I think that's pretty dope to say, and that's something he can add on to his resume. And I think he's doing a great job of being a great example of a young OG, somebody who's been in the NFL a decent amount of time, but at the same time, he's old enough to make smart moves and be an example for other young NFL players.
Cam Newton, a legend.
I just was, I don't know, I just was surprised, and I was, it was inspiring to see him just talking, let you into his mentality and the way he approached life.
Hey, I was right about what I said,
What was right about?
When I was wrong, but I was right about my reasoning.
Okay.
Because he was like, one thing he pointed out was that after the COVID, because you know he had COVID in the middle of the season,
mm-hmm.
after he got that, he said he was behind the offense because of the playbook. he didn't have a playbook. Like, the offense was kept going, but he was stuck, like, 2 weeks behind.
And plus him not having OTAs and all that stuff. He was, yeah, he was obviously.
But that's what I was saying. Obviously, I was wrong, but that's what I was saying. Like, the coach got a playbook. They gonna put things in here and there because obviously they was running the system for 20 years and they ain't got no off season to change everything. Like, they don't know, like, they know, of course they know Cam Newton, but they don't, they want to talk with him and see whatever they need to put in. But they had the playbook, and that's what I was saying. But the first of all, Cam Newton is a legend. Like, when you think about what happened, how he got to his place from being in Florida, leaving Florida, going to a JUCO, coming back to Auburn, winning on the Heisman, coming to the NFL, and then
being the number one pick too.
Yeah, but yeah, and that's the thing though right there, because you gotta think, the last person that was a running quarterback that was in the league was Michael Vick. And Michael Vick was on his way out the door. How these owners and stuff look at black quarterbacks is like, they can't, we not smart enough, basically.
Right.
They look at it as like, okay, that's an athlete, so we're going to put him out at the quarterback position. But as soon as they mess up, they going to cut him. But Cam Newton came, and basically, he was the branch. And this is what I got from the conversation. He was the branch for the Lamar Jacksons, for the
Russell Wilson,
for what's bruh in Houston right now? He trying to get
Deshaun.
Out. Deshaun Watson. He was the branch for them.
Cal Murray.
Yeah, all of them. If it wasn't no Cam Newton, I don't know if they would have the opportunities that they had.
And it's the fact that it wasn't just him being Cam Newton. It's the fact that he
succeeded 2015.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
That really
and he may not never get back to 2015 again. But
he put the blueprint out there, like, okay, yeah, like, okay, let's get a
something
Lamar
there.
Jackson. Let's get a Patrick Mahomes. Let's get a Russell Wilson.
We can get success with this type of thing.
Those guys, if you add it up, those guys have been a part of a lot of Super Bowls thus far. Those running kind of quarterbacks or those guys who are considered African-American quarterbacks. There's been a lot of Super Bowls and a lot of MVPs. So that's been the blueprint now, and everybody's kind of leaning more towards that type of style of football. That's true. I think he has been a trailblazer for African-American quarterbacks in these past, what, 6-7 years, something like that. So I think that does make him a legend. I think that does set the bar pretty high for the next Cam Newton type of player.
This ain't necessarily a sports podcast, but I'm about to get a little bit sporty. A little bit sportsman. Because I got to break this down for the people in the back that don't really understand. You got to understand, when you're dealing with a quarterback, the catalyst of the team, the leader in most cases, that for a black quarterback, they think because you got athletic ability that you gonna lack in the mental space and the mental capacity of the game. Like, you ain't gonna be able to analyze the defense, break them down in the game, like, you know what I'm saying, in the course of a game. But I think that you more better, like, you're even more mentally ready because football is being a quarterback is all about anticipation, just like it is in basketball. It's probably the same, or if not more, because you're getting hit, and it's about anticipation. You literally gotta just hope the receiver in the right position.
Yeah,
you literally gotta hope that because the way that a receiver has to break down a route. The receiver got to break down the defense.
Yeah.
You got to sit in holes and pockets.
Y'all got to make the same read sometimes.
Right. So for a quarterback like a Cam Newton or a Lamar Jackson to make these moves in the course of a game and still have the ability to know when and when not to run, bruh, is nothing like it. Like,
yeah, make them different.
Yeah, they different. It's amazing, to be honest. And I, hey, I just tip my hats off to Cam. The other point in the conversation that they that I like was when, like you said, when they was talking about business, it was a point where Brandon Marshall was like, I'm going to buy this. I won't want to talk to you about the black business discount.
Yeah.
How you feel about when people just ask you for a discount? Do you feel it's because, like, okay, this is a small business or a black owned business that they asking you this, or
like, how you feel about that? I think it's a combination of because I'm accessible and because people who asked me for a discount knew me before I was into whatever they asked me for. So I think people just have a certain level of comfort with you, so they don't feel like, you know what I'm saying? It's not that they don't like what you're doing. It's just they feel like they're on a certain level to where.
Let me get it for 20 instead of 25. Yeah,
they can ask for a different amount, or they have, since they have history with you, they feel like
PJ, got me.
Yeah, they feel like the history is worth money, so. Man. I mainly get asked from the people who know me for a long time, long periods of time, or something like that.
And treat me like Kroger. Right. You can't go in your local grocery store and ask for $10 off just because your family.
Yeah. But do you think if you knew the person who from Kroger, you would ask for discounts?
I don't think. Even if I did, I'm talking about they probably would be getting fired. If I don't ask, it's because I know they would get in trouble for it. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. You can't just, just even clothing stores, you can't just go in a clothing store and be like, let me get this for 10 instead of 20. Like, right. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta get it for what the tags say.
Yeah, man. Whatever the tags say, or the store losing money. And I think that we, as black people or as a culture, should pay, if not the price, we should be paying more just for us, right, as a community to help each other. Love. Like, yeah, that, you know what? It costs 20, let me give you 25. Like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't saying you gotta do that, obviously, but it's better to give more than just always ask for a discount, because like, if you can't afford it, just say that.
Get something you can afford. Like, right, you don't necessarily have to get the most expensive thing. Yeah. I try not to ask for discounts. I don't even remember a time that I have. I just try to, if I like something, I get it. If I don't like it, I don't get it. But it's a lot of things that I like, but I'm not going to ask you to give it to me.
Right.
I just will wait till I can get it, or wait till, maybe wait a couple months and somebody may drop it down on a clearance sale or something like that. But I'm not going to ask for you to give it to me. I'm gonna just like something from afar, or I'm gonna just get it eventually. I don't know.
It's not gonna ask for a discount at a Louis Vuitton store.
Yeah, you can't really do that. So I don't know. But I get what you're saying.
But they not though. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. It ain't even about if you can or you can't. You not, because like, if you going especially into one of these higher end stores, one of these designer stores, people are going to try and buy the most thing like that they can. Like,
yes, it is kind of
just
weird.
Just so they can say, I got this for this month. That to me is like,
some people take pride in how much money they spend with somebody else, but then they go over here. And,
come on now. Come on. Let them know, PJ. Let them know, bro. Just because it's me, bro.
Yeah, don't treat me no different.
You can ask anybody that got anything made by us, it's a quality to it.
Yeah,
bro.
Definitely.
I'm not saying that just because it's us. It's because I know the quality that we put, the time that we put behind whatever we doing.
That's a nice hat you got on there, too.
Right. Matter of fact, you can go to teddesigns.com to get your latest hats, like so, shirts, jackets, hoodies, like we got it all. And the point I'm making is, we ain't got some something from Joe Smo up the street.
Right, it's like legit stuff.
Yeah, like real stuff that we take our time with, that we take our time in picking, that we take our time in designing. Like, you know what I'm saying? We go back and forth collabing, like, we don't like, I don't like that. We should make it like this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely got to respect. I think people just have to respect
it. And we trust it. Like,
you got to respect the hustle. You got to respect the, you know, you got to respect the grind. You got to respect the, you know, the process of the person even creating the idea and bringing it to life and even putting it, any type of price tag on anything. So just respecting the simple fact that somebody's creating this idea, you shouldn't water it down and ask for discounts. You definitely should try to support and pay whatever they price is, whatever they feel like is worth. And if you don't feel like it's worth that much, then don't pay it. But asking for a discount is like a slap in the face a little bit. So it's what happens. Those are part of the process. You kind of just know how to maneuver around it.
And we trust it. Your package is going to get to you.
Facts.
It's going to get there.
We definitely got a premium delivery process.
I was talking to your brother, right? Hey, he posted a video of somebody, a USPS worker at the store. I mean, on lunch break, I'm like, come on, man, we need lunch too.
Facts.
But hey, they gonna take their lunch break. And then they gonna get to you. Gonna get it to you.
They'll definitely get it done. Can't lie.
But hey, yeah, like I said, we trusted, which made me think, what is some of the stuff that you trust in? See, I want to word it right. All right, I'm gonna say it like this. I was watching this video, right?
Yeah.
Or the news. And it was like an airplane, right? And it was a bunch of stuff just falling from the airplane on like a neighborhood, like. And it made me think, like, man, we just put our trust into so much stuff, like.
Facts.
Like so much stuff, like literally, if you go to a store, right, you will walk to the door expecting it to open by itself. You ain't never thought of that. But that's because we put so much trust into things, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just something I was thinking about.
Nah, that's definitely a fact. Like, we definitely, like, even with our phones, cars, like, we put a lot of trust into a lot of stuff. It's just.
Cars is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Cars is the biggest thing we put our trust in. We can literally get. We just talked about Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And that was a single person car crash. I wonder what happened. Was he asleep? Was he drunk? I don't know. We don't know what happened. But we put our trust into all of these things. Like,
we definitely, I don't know. I guess you don't really think about it until you start tapping into it.
I be thinking about that all the time. Like, what if
the door don't open?
And look,
though. Those are sober thoughts, bro.
I know. And look, though. So much so, like, we think about, like, the door, so much so, you have so many videos of people just smacking into the door, bro, like they a bird, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like a little bug going into the blue light.
Why we don't put that amount of trust into, like, people, though?
I don't know.
See, door can't, it can not open,
yeah.
And you can definitely run into that one.
Yeah.
But why, what is it about, like, people that we don't even trust, like? It's hard to trust.
I think it make it hard because you can't control another human. Like, you control the door. Somebody can hit a switch and it work, or hit a switch and it don't work. You can't really do that with a human. So, a human gonna choose to do what it feels it's supposed to do on any given time. So, it's hard to trust the unpredictableness of it.
I don't even think that's what it is. Because like we said, it's like cars. Put our trust in cars, and we can't control none of these people around it that's driving. That's really what's getting us in an accident. These crazy drivers coming up Queen City. I just got a moment right there. But like,
definitely be having to take different routes.
What I think it is the hurt. It hurts more. Like, physical damage is one thing, but emotional damage is a whole nother thing. And we so scared of emotional damage that we scared to go 20 miles an hour with a person. Like,
yeah, 5 miles per hour.
Bro,
you ready to, if something happens, you ready to, I don't know.
You know we could stop all car crashes just by making the speed limit like 10 miles an hour.
But how, well, you wouldn't get nowhere though.
You would get there, it just takes some time.
You can't get nothing done.
Everybody be on bikes.
And then everybody mad because they got speed tickets. And everybody try to get to where they try to go.
Be like, man, why they put 100 miles an hour on this thing if I can't go that far?
Yeah, y'all trying to take too much money from us now.
Why do they make cars go 100 miles an hour if we ain't even allowed to go that fast? Sober thoughts.
Facts.
Bro, we not even allowed to go that fast. They should just make cars go 65 miles an hour.
Hey, you funny, bro. They probably gotta give you some extra leeway.
Dude, look, 65 start slowing down. Yeah, you would be sorry just as soon as you hit 65.
But that's too much control, though. You know how much control you will have over people? You can't do that. You can't do
but
that.
But can you? Nah, you can't. You can definitely do it because cars weren't as fast as they is now back in the day.
That's true. So you was only able to go so fast. Yeah.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. You should, that, like.
But somebody got smarter,
but,
though.
But that's the thing, though. Like, this is, I'm about to get deep. This is the thing, though. We so willing to, like, we willing to sacrifice with certain things that we not with other things.
Right.
Like, think about that. Like, bruh, we would let, like, we in an open carry state. Like, right. We would let everybody right. have a gun in this state.
Right.
But for certain things, like, I don't know, what's something that people be dying from, like, that we, I don't know, that we allow, like. Like people be dying from cars and stuff, and we allow that. But with Corona, we stuck in the house for months. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We not given the opportunity. Not, I don't want to say opportunity, but with Corona, we not given that, like, that ability to, like, go out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or be free with it. And it ain't no different than having a speed limit of 65 miles an hour.
When you basically, it's a restriction, basically.
Bro, 65 miles an hour.
You funny. If every car was 65 miles an hour,
just slow
how funny
down
would that be, though? But it's a rebel somewhere that's going to figure out how to go faster.
Of course. Just like it's a person out here that's going to go outside when they ain't supposed to.
Exactly. So it's, that's the problem. You can't. I don't think you really can control humans. I think humans are. I don't know. I think they only. It's the reason why people, like, anything that's man-made can be, like, figured out. Or you get what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like it's just you're never gonna always have that much control. Yeah, yeah. So the fact you give people cars, somebody gonna figure out a way to make them faster. Or, like. Is always going to be a human that improves something or makes something better or kind of like critique it.
That's like, why ain't like all drugs legal? Like, we know the consequences. You know, it's going to be like drug crackheads everywhere. But again, with the car, like, if all drugs was legal,
yeah.
You have way less people in jail.
You think so?
Yeah, because drugs.
I think you would. But I think people on drugs do other crimes. People get on drugs, other crimes.
So now you got people. Now we got more people.
Exactly. So I don't think it's a way you could control humans.
And this comes from a sober person.
Exactly.
I'm just spitballing here, people.
I just don't think it's a way to control humans. I think it don't matter. Right. It's just pros and cons. You're going to have to give a little, take a little. So,
right. I don't know, just a thought. It was just a thought. But but another thing, I went on this weekend again with my wife. Mm-hmm. We went to see this movie called Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yes.
He was telling me about this movie.
Yeah, I recommended
it. We went to go see it. We saw it. We came, we saw. And I want to get your take on it. Just without spoiling it, let's try to just give our takes on it. Isn't it? Well, I guess you can spoil it even if it's a true story.
But well, I'm
you know the to, justice.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to spoil it. It's basically about a, you know, Black Panther leader. Iconic, you know, person who was, well, he was an iconic revolutionary. So he was trying to change stuff and trying to bring people together to fight against police brutality and racism and all the stuff that they was going through back in the day that we've heard countless stories about. But this is just a story about his life in particular. So it's a unique. It's just a unique story. It's a unique story to me. So it was interesting just to learn another point of view, another great leader, another great person who was, you know, at the height of his prime during the movie. So you definitely will have to watch it to see everything that goes on. I don't want to tell too much, but
yeah, I don't want to say it's about his life.
Well, it's not about his life, but his life as the Black, you know, involving the Black Panther, what happened as far as
him
in that part of his life, not necessarily the whole part, obviously.
I'm gonna try to pull some stuff out of it.
Yeah,
We're not gonna even spoil it.
Yeah.
Was it about his life or was it about Bill?
Actually, it was more so about the person who ended up infiltrating the Black Panthers. That's exactly who it was more so about. So, he just was the subject. Obviously, he was the main thing of the story. So. It was interesting. I liked it. I thought it was pretty dope. I thought it was very inspiring and just another story that if you've never seen it before, you kind of need to tap into it and just see it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be real quick about it, but I definitely advise any and everybody to go see this movie. It's a good movie. It's a great movie, as a matter of fact. My assessment of the movie is it shows you two sides of like a coin, like of the same coin, how a person, again, when you talk about integrity, and a person that does what they need to do for their people versus one person that allows himself to get tricked in the system that they in. How can I put this? I don't know if I feel for Bill, but I understand Bill. So I can understand a person that's in that situation and going with the flow because they feel like they needed to survive. Like, but at the same time, when you look at the bigger picture, it affected the community.
Right? Yeah.
So I think most people would think they would be like, nah, most of y'all would probably be in there going with the flow too, being an informant if he was caught in that situation.
For steak dinners too.
Right.
Just listening only for a steak dinner, man. It was
they said he got, I did some research, it was over. Well, no, it's at the end of the movie. I think he got like over 200,000. But what he did. But again, I advise anybody to watch that movie. I kind of want to go into it, but that name. But
What's this you sipping on?
I have no idea. You got me some, it tastes good.
It definitely good. Actually tastes good.
It's real smooth. But, man, that's the episode. Again, go to tevdesigns.com. Tevdesigns.com. Get your merch. Support us. Support the creators in the city. We got the stuff that we're building and working on. Again, you can schedule an appointment to get any graphic designs you need. Websites, flyers, book covers, anything you need. Just go to tevdesigns.com. You can get the episodes of this podcast on there. And that's it. You can value anything.
Sir.
This is the Ill Perspective Podcast. I'm Ted D. This is PJ. And you're listening to another episode. Peace.
Holla at the boy. I like that. You gotta really, you gonna really get a boy.